Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Met Brother Rich, it's been almost 20 years ago, I suppose, when he was at Houghton Lake, and became good friends, best friends then. And we met in West Branch, and at the Ponderosa, I think it was. And he was telling me, he said, I need to know what you think. He says, church in California is interested. And I said, I don't have to think. I said, you're going. I didn't want to say that, but I just somehow knew. And it was God's will for him and his family to move from Houghton Lake out to Banning, where they are doing an amazing job. They live in a beautiful area. Banning's about halfway between Los Angeles and Palm Springs. And, I mean, you walk out their church doors and just beautiful Southern California mountains over here and the other way, opposite direction, beautiful Southern California mountains up there. And the Lord has just blessed him in a beautiful place. Not too far from Disneyland. You're personal friends with Mickey Mouse, I think, now. Is that
Minnie Mouse?
Okay. And Brother Rich and his wife are an inspiration to me. As I said a minute ago, she's been dealing with multiple myeloma, and that's kind of dominated their life for the last several years. And yet they continue on in ministry with a sweet spirit. And correct me if I'm wrong, though, you know, because sometimes people think that, you know, pastors have a silver spoon in their mouth and things always go great. I never will forget, this was after she had been diagnosed, somebody was going to be an encouragement to you and gave you, I was talking to you on the phone and I asked where you were. I don't know if you remember this conversation. I asked where you were and you said, well, I'm getting ready to check out at Outback Steakhouse. Does that ring a bell? And you told me somebody had given you a gift card. And he was excited because, you know, Outback Steakhouse, I got a gift card. And he's checking out. And then I hear him saying something, kind of mumbling. I said, what's up? He says, I just found out how much is on the gift card. And I said, how much? He said, like $1.40. Do you remember that now?
I do.
Come
I
in.
I do.
You can tell the...
Amen.
Don't take my LSU socks.
Get those socks out of here. We don't... LSU... He likes to call me when Michigan loses to Ohio State. I don't even answer the phone anymore. I said, I can't handle that. I'm glad when those temporal things don't go your way, you can look to the eternal. Amen? And we've been looking at Michigan to the eternal a lot lately when it comes to Ohio State and playing. But we're thankful for God's grace and mercy. And we've been in California for 13 years. Loved living in here. My home is Michigan. I tell the folks at the Sunday school hour when I landed in Detroit yesterday evening, just a blessing to me just to be back home. This is my home. And there's nothing like home. Some of you are transplants from different places maybe. Maybe you weren't born in Michigan, grew up in Michigan. And you have another state that's home. But this is home to me. And I love Michigan. I'm thankful for all that God did in my life here in Michigan. Camp Kobiak was a place that we attended often there at camp when I was a youth pastor downstate, and then I ended up being the pastor there for 5 years, and there was a blessing there. I was telling Brother Glenn, you know, when you're a pastor, you can become prideful, you know. And so at Houghton Lake, when I first went there to be the pastor, you know, they didn't have a dumpster. You know, the pastor just lived in the... I lived in the parsonage there. And so if there was extra bags from the church, then I would get them and take them to the front of my house. But you know how you know you have a lot of church growth? You have a lot of garbage. So that's how I weighed that, you know. I said, man, look at all the garbage we've got, you know. And so sometimes I'd have 12 bags. I'm only allowed 6. It's Monday morning. I'm taking bags to the church member's house. I'd call them up, hey, you got room for 2 bags of garbage? I'm running these over there. I don't want to get fined at the church, you know. And so when we voted that year to have a dumpster at the church, I called Brother Glenn, and he said, you've made it big time. And I went to California, and they had a dumpster, so I was already at that plateau. But the church and school grew, and now we have two dumps a week, so like I can't even live with myself. You know, it's like, look at all the trash we have. That means there's people coming. And so that was my claim to fame with him, the dumpster dumps. And he reminds me of that often. He has the gift of discouragement, and he exercises that on me. But life has a way of humbling you. And as Brother Glenn mentioned, you know, multiple myeloma is a bone cancer. And so 3 years ago, they said, you know, the prognosis was 3 to 5 years. However, in myeloma, they're really, the cancer research is, they're really making a lot of advances. And so now they're saying 10 years. You can live for 10 years. Well, my wife has an aggressive type of myeloma, so it has a response to the treatment, then it comes back quickly. And so we've been going to City of Hope there outside of Pasadena, California, for 3 years, and we're just thankful. We have Christian Ministry, Healthcare Ministries. It's a Christian network, and they've covered over $400,000 in medical bills, paid every bill that we have. We just live by faith. Well, she's in a clinical trial right now, and this is the neat thing. It started in December, but the treatment's $100,000 a month for this drug, and we get it for free. And not only that, they really believe that this drug, they're on the cutting edge of not completely getting rid of myeloma, but making it so where you can live a long time with it. Keep it down low enough where it doesn't hurt your body. And so she's on a clinical trial. Get this, church. Twice a month, there's five hospitals involved in this clinical trial, and Mayo Clinic's one of them. So my wife is talked about with all these specialists, five different hospitals, including Mayo Clinic. Twice a month, they talk about her case. They see what her blood work is. They see how she's doing, and they're monitoring her. We have the best doctors in the world monitoring her. Is that like amazing? That's God. God did that. God's doing that. And so it's a great challenge. But you know what? We've learned just to live every day and love life every day and just enjoy your life. God's goodness and God's grace. I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient. And God's you know, just blessed and guided us. And we're just thankful. And we're just glad we're able to come. She had a treatment on Thursday. We weren't quite sure she was going to be able to make this trip. But, you know, she's really doing well for the cancer side of it. But she has to be careful about getting sick, getting a cold or the flu or something. But we're just thankful to be here. I'm thankful for all that God's doing in our lives. And again, we just enjoy being a part of what God is doing in Banning, California. And so I'm so thankful. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Job this morning, the book of Job. And when I went, we went out to California. I went with Brother McMorris and Pastor McMorris. And when we hung out together, I was telling the Sunday school hour, down there when we went down to Santa Monica Pier, you know, where all the famous people go. And so people were looking at us. And I was telling him, he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger and I'm Danny DeVito. You know, he's tall, handsome, and he looks like a senator, you know, the governor of California. And here I am there, just me, you know, so it kind of bothered me. But anyways, I didn't hang out. I didn't walk too close to him, you know what I'm saying, because he just looks so good. But anyways, when I would go to Massachusetts, I went there several times, people would say to me, "Are you Ted Kennedy?" They thought I was Ted Kennedy, you know. And, you know, at that time, Ted Kennedy was 20 years older than me. This is like 15 years ago. And I said, "No, I'm not Ted Kennedy." So one time I was in the Pensacola airport, went to visit Pensacola Christian College. Somebody asked me at the curb, "Are you Ted Kennedy?" I said, "No, I'm not Ted Kennedy." So I got on the airplane, I sat down, and a guy came down the aisle and said, "Mr. Kennedy, would you sign my book? This is your book you wrote." And so I just took his book and signed it, Ted Kennedy. Gave him the book back. So we take off, we're flying, and the guy sitting next to me says, "Are you really Ted Kennedy?" I said, "No, but don't tell that guy. I just made his day. God will forgive me for that." So anyways, it's just great to be able to serve God, to be a part of what He's doing. And I got to tell you, God's in control of all things, whether it's your health, whether it's your home. We have a sure hope. It's a blessed hope. And we're here on divine assignment. We're here to do a job for God. And so He strengthens us, and He guides us, and He blesses us. And it was a big step of faith to move to California. I'd only been there one other time, or two other times, once with Brother McMorris, and once years ago with our family. But God called us, and we've been there. Unbeknownst to most people in the Midwest, there's a lot of great people in California. The county we live in is very conservative. Our state senator that represents us is a born-again Christian. I've been to his office. He's come and spoke in our church, given just an update on things. And there's a lot of great people. And we believe we can turn the state of California around. We believe we can win enough people to Christ and get enough people elected. I mean, it's very liberal in so many ways. And the trends go from the west to the east. But we're not giving up on America. Because my God says, I can do all things through who? Christ. And so just one at a time, we lead people to Christ and live for God. And as we think about life, as we think about our daily lives, as I think about Job, I think there's so many ways that his life and his experience could be applied. Now, Job's the oldest book in the Bible. We find here in chapter 1, it says this, in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. I mean, he resisted evil. Job had nothing to do with it. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He had a lot. He was great. Not only did he have a lot of things, but he was a man that loved God and hated evil. He resisted evil. And the Bible says in verse 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So Job not only eschewed evil himself and was a man that feared God, but he prayed for his kids. He prayed for his family. He wanted his sons and daughters to love God and to follow God. And he knew just because he did didn't mean that they would. But he wanted them to. And I think that's a great example for us. We never stop praying for our kids. You know, we have 5 daughters. And 3 of them are married to Christian guys. We're thankful for that. 7 grandchildren. But we pray for them. And Job prayed every day. And he offered sacrifice. And so we as parents, we never give up. Listen, the thing that sets us apart as parents is prayer and the power of God. We have the power of God. We have the blessings of God. The thing that sets us apart here, this church, this beautiful place, and I've often referred to this just about every time I talk with Brother McMorris, this is a miracle in Mayo. This is a miracle church. To have this many people in church on a Sunday morning in Mayo, Michigan, where there's a whole lot of other things to do. There's lakes to be at. There's fishing to be had and all kinds of luxuries here. And yet God has saved you and you love God and you want to be in church in His house to learn from Him. That's a miracle. All of us are living miracles saved by the grace of God. And if you're here and you're not born again, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, today could be your day of salvation. Today could be the day you open your heart to Jesus Christ because He loves you. And that's what the church prays for. And Job is praying for his family. Then it says this, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So we have this scene here. This is heaven. God is there. Satan is there. And we have the angels, or the sons of God, or an angel of a heavenly host that are going about upon this earth. And Satan is there. And then here we have a conversation. And God says to Satan, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Think about that. Satan, have you considered my servant Job? You think about this morning. We're all God's children. We're born into the family of God. We're servants of the Most High God. God could say about us to Satan, have you considered my servant, Rich? Put your name there. Have you considered my servant? And put your name there. You see, you live for God. You love God. You want to walk with God. You want to please God. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what an unsaved person says. You have a desire to live for God. And I'm here this morning to tell you that God knows it, God sees it, and God loves you, and God will empower you to do whatever He's called you to do. And He'll guide you through every step of your life, every problem that you have, every trial that will come. He already knows the trial. He's already out in front of you. You see, God's living already in September and October, November, and He's already out in front of you, clearing the path, watching over you. And He's going to meet your need. He's giving you something today that may help you in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a year. You read your Bible daily and you read the scriptures through. And God is preparing you, and He's building you. He's building your faith so that whatever comes your way, whatever what happens in this life, you will be able to withstand that temptation, stay faithful through that trial, and be used by God and be a testimony for Him. You see, Job was a miracle of God, and God was so proud of Job. God said it. Have you considered my servant Job? That there's none like him. A perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? You see, what Satan's saying is, God, the only reason he fears you is because you've blessed him. Is he really doing it because he loves you? Is he really doing it, God, because you... But listen, look what it says. Has not thou put a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, and hath blessed the work of his hands, and has his substance is increased in the land? He said, listen, you've put a hedge round about him. I can't touch him. You've blessed everything he's done. But don't stop blessing him. Stop blessing what he does. Bring some things into his life that are difficult, and you'll see a change. And so the Bible says in verse number 11, but put forth thine hand now, Satan says, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thine power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So Satan leaves heaven. He's going out there, and he's going to his job, or his assignment that he's given to himself, is he wants Job to curse God. He wants Job to turn his back on God. And I'm telling you today, that's what the devil wants for you and for me, to turn our back on God and to turn away from God. As I mentioned this morning in the Sunday school hour, you know, it's not wrong to complain to God, to lament. We have the book of Lamentations, to cry out to God. God, I don't understand it. I've cried out to God. God, I don't understand this. I don't understand why these trials come in our lives. But when we talk to God, number one, He already knows our hearts. And He loves us. But what God doesn't want us to do is to complain about Him to other people. Oh, wow, this is happening to me. I don't think it's right. And boy, what is God? What if, you know, We complain to God, about God to other people. Well, my life's just not good. No, listen, all of us are blessed beyond measure. We all have more than we deserve. We're all going to get more than we deserve. And we're going to be blessed far beyond what we could ever do in our own hearts and minds. You see, we see it out there. We're only a few miles from Hollywood. We're only a few, so we get that local news. You get the worldwide news. But we hear about the stars and all the people who commit suicide and who have troubles and who have family problems. They have all the money in the world. They have all the fame in the world, but they have no peace in their heart. You have more, and I have more in Jesus Christ than all the money you can buy, that you could have, any house that you could buy. I've seen Tom Selleck's mansion. I've seen, Jay Leno's mansion up there on the lakes around there. We've gone by, and there's where, Walt Disney's mansion's right there, and all these people. But without Jesus, there's emptiness. Disneyland can't make you happy. Oh, it's the happiest place on earth, but it's not the most peaceful place on earth. You get the picture? We have it. You don't have to go to Disneyland to have a great time in life. You don't have to go anywhere because you have Jesus Christ. We have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And so we live for God in this day and age. We walk with God. And so the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. So verse 13 says, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine at their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only escaped alone to tell thee. So here's Job sitting there, wow, that's a horrible thing, man. The servants are gone and so on, and it's just horrible. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. That's two. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out about three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and had slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, at this point, if you're Job, you're saying, okay, don't bring anybody else in to see me, okay? This is all bad news. By the way, in life, that's kind of the way it happens. They say big problems come in threes. We find out this happened, then we find out this, and just sometimes it gets overwhelming. But again, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor what? Forsake thee. I can do all things through who? Christ. And it doesn't matter what the problem is, how big it is, how difficult it is, I can do it through Christ. I can have the strength to live for God and to get the job done that he's called me to do, to take care of my family and take care of the people, whatever your job is or whatever ministry you might be involved with, you can do it through Christ. Well, here comes another one. While he was yet speaking, in verse 18, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and said, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, what I see here in Job's life, I see this. He comes down, all these things happen. But what Job knew, and Job with a thankful heart, said, the Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. He said, you know what? God gave me everything I had anyways. Everything I had came from God. And so, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. I'll trust him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the key to the abundant life, the key to walking with God, one of the major keys is being thankful for what you have. Because God has given us everything. God's given us our families. God's given us our homes. God's given us our health. God's given us the sure blessed hope. It all comes from God. And that's what Job's saying. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and returned, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this morning, as we consider this story, this true story from the Bible, God, the Lord has given us all things, and he's blessed it. The question today is, are we blessing the name of the Lord? Consider my servant. You see, you can put your name there. And I think as we consider what all this passage and all that God has done, the first thing we have to be is thankful and understand it's all come from God, and that God loves us and that God cares about us and that God wants to meet every need. Listen, as I mentioned, we have five daughters and grandchildren and just son-in-laws. God's given us all of them. God's given us life. We enjoy every moment of every life, of our lives. We enjoy our grandchildren. And we're quick to thank God for everything we have. And all of us need to do that. We just need to be thankful to the Lord. We're all in his hands. All of our substance belongs to him. That's why to tithe, well, to give 10% back to God, that's already God's. So we just give that, Lord, here's your 10%, then we give over and above that. It all belongs to God. It's not mine, it's his. And he's saved me, he's called me, and he's given me a job to do. And so it is with all of us. In Job's life, he passed the test. It's an amazing thing. He was thankful. But wait a minute. Notice in chapter 2, the devil's not through. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came and to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So here we have the scene again. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, and feareth God, and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is thine, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself, and he sat down among the ashes. Then his wife said unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. I've often thought this. Satan took everything from Job, his family, all that he had, but he left his wife. And his wife is the only one left. And she finally comes to the end of it, and she says, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Let me tell you, church, number one, Satan doesn't give up once he's been trying you, once the trials come in your lives. Number two, so now here he is, he says, all right, let me take away his health, and he'll curse you. And so sometimes you get to the end of that rope. But we always must trust God. His wife said, just curse God and die. And Job just said, you're talking like a foolish person. You're talking like somebody, just don't do that. And he didn't sin. And so how in the world can we do this? How in the world can we be what God wants us to be? How can we be like Job when he said, consider thy servant? Well, the first thing, we've got to lean upon God. We've got to lean upon God. Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. We've got to lean upon God. We've got to always follow him. We can't lean upon one another. Job had his wife, and his wife, by the way, I think his wife did pretty good. We don't hear her complaining until right here. She lost everything. She was married to the greatest man of the East. Now she's married to the greatest failure in the East, in the world's eyesight. He has nothing. He has no family. He has no riches. His friends come later on in the book, and they just criticize him. He has nothing. She stood by him, and then she criticized him. We have to support one another when we go through problems and difficulties, and lift one another up. And husbands and wives need to come to each other's aid, and you need to help one another. And friendships and family and your children. Some of you have children that got saved when you're older, and some may not be living for God. Just keep living for God and pray for them. Keep living for God and be an example to them. And love them and help them and encourage them. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Why is that? He leaned upon God. He leaned upon him. Not only that, we need to look to God in all things. The Bible says, look unto the rock. I must look unto the rock. I must look at him. I must follow him. And so many times when we're going through trials and difficulties, people mean well and they try to give you encouragement. They try to say, well, this and that, just like Job's friends did. But we must lean upon God, and we must look to the rock. We must look to our Savior. If you want to be successful, if you want to make it through that trial, you've got to look to him. Job looked to God. He stayed his eye upon Jesus Christ. Listen, in this world, you're going to have people that will discourage you. You're going to have trials that will come. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. He will never fail you. You will never, ever lose out keeping your eyes upon Jesus. He's the faithful one. Lean upon God. Look to God. Follow him. The Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. Isaiah 55. God says it. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. I will work it out. All things work together for good for those that love God, those that are called according to his purpose. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this, our light affliction is but for a moment. That trial you're going through, God will see you through it. Just stay faithful. Look to God. Lean upon God. Look to God. Follow him in all things. And not only do we lean on him and look to him, but we must live for God. We must live. We've got to keep living. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for we know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Lean upon God. Look to God and just live for him. Things may not always go the way you want it to go. People may not always follow God, but just keep looking to him. You may get discouraged. I had a friend from high school, went to Hazel Park High with him. His name was Bob Welch. He was a pitcher. Pitched at Eastern Michigan University. Then he went on to, he was drafted by the Dodgers. In 1978, he struck out Reggie Jackson in the World Series. He was 21 years old, a kid from Hazel Park. They brought him in the last of the ninth inning. Was at Dodger Stadium. There was two outs, men on first and second. The Dodgers were winning by one run. And it was Bob Welch, the rookie, against Reggie Jackson. He pitched him, it was 13 pitches. He kept fouling it off and fouling it off and fouling it off. And finally, Welch struck him out. And down went the mighty Reggie Jackson to the rookie, Bob Welch from Hazel Park. Welch went on to have a career with the Dodgers. and won a World Series ring with the Dodgers. He was traded to the Oakland A's. In 1990, he won the Cy Young Award. He was 27-3 that year. He was the starting pitcher for the All-Star game that year in 1990. His friend told me, he said, when Welch pitched the first two innings, this is the kind of guy he was, he left the dugout and went up with the kids from Hazel Park that were seated in the bleachers, up in the left field bleachers. He left in his uniform, walked up there, and sat and watched the rest of the game with the friends from Hazel Park. He's the starting pitcher. Look at people up there. Is that Bob Welch right there? Yeah, that's... He's sitting up here with us, you know. He's up there buying popcorn and, you know, watching the game, you know. He's just a fun-loving guy. Great, great person. Well, 3 years ago, I would be in and out of contact with him. He lived in Scottsdale, Arizona. He had a place in Seal Beach just outside of Los Angeles. And I called him. I said, Welch, would you come by and sign some autographs and from our kids in our school and church? And he called me up and he said, hey, I can't do it, Sid. I just got too much going on, and I'll have to get you another time. So, but by about 12:30, he calls me. He says, hey, I'm here. I'm in Banning. I can't find your church and school. So he comes over, and he signs autographs for the kids in the school, and we go to lunch. He comes over and sees my wife and kids, and he's about ready to go. We're back in the school parking lot. And at that time, though, church, I was a little bit discouraged. You invest your life. You want to see more production. You don't want to see people fade away. You don't want to see people walk away from God. You don't want to see people stop serving Him. You always want to see more, it seems, than you're seeing and results. But he came and he was ready to leave. We were outside the parking lot of the school there, the church. And I said, Bob, can I tell you about Jesus? Can I share something with you? Now, at sharing this with him, I'd share the gospel, but I knew when I shared that gospel that he may never talk to me again. So I started down the Romans Road right there out in the parking lot of the school in the shade there on a April afternoon and went through it. About halfway through it, he said this to me. He said, Sid, this is why I got off that highway, isn't it? This is why I got off that highway. And I said, I believe it is, Bob. I said, God has a message for you. And I went through the Romans Road. He prayed the sinner's prayer. And he bowed his head and trusted Christ. I'll never forget, he gave me this big bear hug. He's 6'4". He's just an athletic build. He looked at me and he said, Sid, let me tell you something. You've accomplished more with your life than I have with mine. You've accomplished more with your life than I have with mine. Wait a minute, he's won a World Series ring with the Dodgers, with the Oakland A's, Cy Young winner. He won a World Series ring with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He was Randy Johnson's pitching coach. He won a World Series with them. 3 World Series rings. But he said to me, you've accomplished more. Now, see, to me, church, that message that he gave me was from God. I gave him a message about salvation, and he gave a message from God to me about service. Quit worrying about it, Sidlowski, and just do it. You're doing a work for me. You're doing a work for God. And I'm telling you, that message that Bob Welch gave to me that day is a message I can share with you. What you're doing for God, living for God with your families and loving your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors and the people in this community and praying for them and lifting up the name of Jesus Christ and moving forward for the glory of God, I'm telling you, that's the most important thing. You're doing the most important thing. This church and churches like this are preaching the gospel, the most important thing that you can have, the most important work going on, teaching people about Jesus Christ. Oh, we've got to lean upon God. We've got to look to God. We've got to live for Him. That was a scary thing because I thought I may have lost a friend there. But after that, Bob Welch, he'd call me. He'd text me. He texts me often. When Becky found out she had cancer, he would text me and ask me how she's doing. He died 3 years ago in a freak accident. But 12 days before he died, he had texted me and asked about my wife. How's she doing? How's Becky doing? And so he got saved. He's in heaven. And all God's people said, amen. I'll see him in heaven. But I'm telling you that what you do for God is important. Your life, your ministry here, the ministry, what you're doing here, the Vacation Bible School coming up. It's what it's all about. Lean upon God. Look to God. Live for God. And then just love Him. Job loved God. You see, the whole thing is that Satan wanted to turn Job against God. He wanted him to turn him against God. We must never let anything come between our love for God, between us and God. Listen, He's preparing a place for us where we'll live forever and ever. And He's given life. We have life today. Go to your favorite restaurant today and just enjoy life. You may be going through a tough time, but live for today. Live for this moment. Live for God. Be a witness and enjoy it. Laugh and have a blast. And God wants to bless you, and He is blessing you. We can look to Him. The trial of our faith. Oh, we must just keep loving God. And all this Job sinned not with his lips. Let's love Him. Let's lean upon Him. Let's look to Him. Let's live for Him. And let's love Him because He's worthy. This morning, if you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, I'm telling you, God loves you. And He cares about you. And He wants to give you eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved today. You can be born into the family of God by trusting Him. Oh, trust Him today. And then, Christian, just look to Him. Lean upon Him. Thank God for everybody we have, but we have to lean upon God. We have to look to Him. We have to live for Him in all that we do and continue to love Him. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.